Good morning, all. Before we start the meeting, I'd like to turn over to the translator who will provide instructions regarding translation.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we'll provide these language access instructions in Spanish for those who are attending either in person or via Zoom. Muy buenos días a todos que nos acompañan. Bienvenidos a la reunión de hoy. Queremos dejarles saber que tenemos interpretación disponible para el programa. Si desea escucharlo en español, por favor, seleccione el icono de un globo que aparece en la parte inferior de su pantalla. Bien, aparecerá en breve, que dice Interpretation o Interpretación. Selecciónelo y de ahí seleccione su idioma Spanish o Español y podrá escuchar el programa enteramente en su idioma. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you, Chair. Back to you.
Thank you. With that, welcome to the April 9, 2024 meeting of the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board. For everybody joining us in the meeting room, please turn off or silence your cell phones. This meeting is being webcasted and recorded, so please speak clearly. This meeting is being conducted in a physical location and is also available via remote access. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be muted with your camera off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until completion of your item and then may choose to exit the meeting or continue. Board Member Gonzalez, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Will the clerk please conduct a roll call?
Chair Satin?
Present.
Vice Chair Perez?
Present.
Board Member Music?
Present.
Board Member Wright?
Here.
Chair Satin, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The purpose of this public... Good catch.
It's an illusion.
Here in spirit.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Good morning, President.
Thank you.
Chair Satin, we have a quorum.
The purpose of this public meeting is for regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region regarding water quality issues. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will generally be limited to 3 minutes. The board clerk can now identify the speakers who have submitted speaker cards. Do we have any?
No speaker cards, but we do have Elmer Lamas available for questions for item number 5.
Thank you. All right, we will now move on to item 3, which is review and approval of the minutes for the board's prior meeting on March 12th, 2024. Can I please have a motion in a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote.
Chair Satin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. All right, for agenda item 4, the board will now hear an update from Laurel Firestone, our liaison to the State Water Resources Control Board. Laurel?
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Great. Great. Thank you. Let's see. I have a few things I wanted to share. One is, and I forwarded this, I just forwarded this morning, so you should get it soon to board members. But the California Natural Resources Agency did submit their annual report on the Salt and Sea Management Program on March 25th, and that is available in both English and Spanish. And we have a, we will be holding our oversight meeting. Unfortunately, this year it's going to be in Sacramento, but we will have local viewing, as I said, last meeting, and it will be hybrid. But that will be on May 22nd. and encourage folks to see there's some good project tracking tools that CNRA released as well, that I think are helpful for understanding the progress being made there. We also are moving forward with our hearing for adoption for Chromium 6 MCL. That hearing will be April 17th, so coming up. And the MCL is still proposed to be 10, and there are compliance periods that give agencies a little bit more time to come into compliance. But that is scheduled for hearing on April 17th. We also held a workshop in March on making conservation a way of life and developing more permanent urban water use efficiency regulations. We had a lot of good input and had released a draft, a pretty revised draft for public comment. Comments were due at the end of March, March 27th. We are looking at those comments and we may do some additional revisions and release another draft, but we're still discussing that and analyzing the comments we received. And then we are still hoping to do a final adoption this summer. That's still the goal, if we're able to land that in a place that we all feel comfortable or that enough of us feel comfortable. And then those would go into effect starting at the, if we're on that schedule, starting at the beginning of next year. And again, those set an overall budget for water use efficiency at an agency level. It provides, it's pretty complicated. It's very tailored to each individual system. There's a lot of different variances and allowances for things like recycled water, maybe a particular land uses like, or water uses like evaporative coolers. But the idea is really to transition folks to more permanent California appropriate water use so that we can better adapt and be more resilient in the face of reduced water with a hotter, drier California and just much more overall extremes in our hydrology. So, you know, I think we've all seen what's been happening on the Colorado River as well. And so California is not alone in that. We're all trying to move forward to figure out how to make the best use of the water that we have and also not have to go through so much extremes when we have to do emergency conservation. The idea is just make conservation a way of life, have it be a more stable but reduced water use for urban needs. Let's see, so right now that I'm on the road, we just had a workshop in Tulare County in Porterville for the Tule Subbasin for SGMA, this Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. But we have our first probationary hearing. So the first time we'll consider bringing a basin into probation under SGMA. That will be coming up on the 16th. We've released our staff report and just held a workshop in Porterville for the Tule Subbasin. We also are going to be considering revised interim mitigation payment calculations for once through cooling policy. We have a number of workshops, 3-day workshops on the Bay Delta voluntary agreements for the Bay Delta plan coming up at the end of the month. And I think those are the big things I wanted to highlight since our last meeting. We have a ton going on this month, but are looking forward to moving through on a lot of the important stuff we have. And I We have a regular report on our progress implementing the water supply strategy, which I think I've forwarded to are just now, so you'll get it soon, forwarded to board members, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Laurel. Do we have any questions? All right. Thank you so much, Laurel.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to item five, uncontested calendar. For the item on the uncontested calendar, I will need to recuse myself. My agency, the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission, has a direct financial stake in the project. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to Vice Chair Perez.
Thank you.
All items under the uncontested item calendars are acted upon by the board in one motion without discussion. Currently, there is one item on the uncontested calendar, agenda item five. Item five is a waste discharge requirements order for California Department of Transportation, Cactus City Roadside Rest Area. Does any board member wish to remove this item from the uncontested calendar? Okay. If any member of the public wishes to remove an item from the uncontested calendar, you need to have filled out a speaker card. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards for this item?
No, we do not.
The board clerk can now identify the speakers. Well, actually, nobody has. Okay, great. Thank you.
We do have someone for item five, Elmer Lamas, available for questions.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Okay, I have a motion to.
I'll make a motion to adopt number five, waste charge requirements for California Department of Transportation, Cactus City Roadside Rest Area.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Chair Sutton recused. Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okie doke. All right. We will now move on to the contested and discussion calendar. Items for adoption, agenda item six. I am now opening the hearing on agenda item six, which is a cease and desist order for Blaine Guard LLC's Smoke Tree Villas wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal system. This hearing will be conducted in accordance with the hearing procedure dated February 20th, 2024. As explained in the hearing procedure, the board staff have separated functions between the advisory team and a prosecution team. The advisory team consists of Paula Rasmussen, the board's executive officer, and David Lancaster, the board's counsel. The prosecution team consists of the board's assistant executive officer, Cassandra Owens, board staff Jose Cortez and Michael Perez, Wendy Wiles, environmental program manager from the Office of Enforcement, and David Boyers, assistant chief counsel from the Office of Enforcement. The discharger is represented by Caroline Bain and Michelle Bain of Bain Guard LLC and Scott Whisman, PE from Apex Companies LLC. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards for this item?
No speaker cards, Chair Sutton.
Thank you. I will now administer the oath. All persons intending to speak on this item, raise your right hand and take the following oath. Everybody, okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury? If so, answer, I do. Thank you. Okay, please state your name, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath before testifying. The order of the speakers for this item are presentation by prosecution team, 20 minutes, comments from the discharger, 20 minutes, comments from public, board member comments and discussion, and then close the hearing. Ms. Wiles would please present the prosecution team's case.
Michelle is here to represent the discharger. She's filling out the speaker card right now.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Lindy Wiles. I'm an environmental program manager, retired Inuitint with the State Water Board's Office of Enforcement, and I have taken the oath. Smoke Tree Villas is an apartment complex in 29 Palms with its own wastewater treatment and disposal system. The prosecution team is requesting that you adopt a cease and desist order to compel the discharger, Beane Guard LLC, to bring the treatment system back into compliance with its waste discharge requirements. The prosecution team for this matter is Cassandra Owens, Jose Cortez, Michael Perez, all from Region 7, David Boyers and myself from Office of Enforcement. And we're all here this morning and we can answer any questions. And then the discharger is represented by Michelle Beane, who is also here today. In this presentation, I'll show you where the facility is located, and then I'll discuss its waste discharge requirements and my inspection from May of 2022. I'll also give a summary of the recent violations, describe the notice of violation, and describe the actions taken by the discharger in response. And then finally, I'll go over the tentative cease and desist order and the proposed revisions in the change sheet, and then give the staff recommendation. So Smoke Tree Villas is shown in the yellow circle on this slide. It's on Bagley Avenue in the town of 29 Palms, north of Highway 62. For reference, the 29 Palms City Hall is highlighted in the smaller red circle. And if you look closely at the yellow circle, you can see the buildings that make up the 36 apartments in this complex. Next slide. Smoke Tree Villas is regulated by Waste Discharge Requirements Order Number R7-2006-0038, which is found as Exhibit 1 in your evidence list. For the remainder of the presentation, I'll refer to these waste discharge requirements as the permit. The permit was adopted in 2006 prior to construction of the apartment complex. The permit states that domestic wastewater will flow to an activated sludge treatment plant with disposal to seepage pits. This permit is similar to many other waste discharge requirements that were adopted in the mid-2000s for discharges of domestic wastewater. In addition to the standard prohibitions and specifications, there's a flow limit, and there's effluent limits for five constituents: pH, BOD, total suspended solids, total dissolved solids, and total nitrogen. In May of 2022, I inspected the facility. The inspection report is found as the second part of Exhibit 7 in your evidence list. These three pictures are of the wastewater treatment plant. This plant is unusual because most of it is underground and it's accessed through the manholes shown in the left hand and the center pictures. The aeration blower covers, which are shown on the right picture, are the only part of the treatment plant that's above ground. Treated wastewater flows to septic pits, which are in the parking lot, and you can just see the parking lot at the edge of the left-hand picture. Okay. The reason that we're asking the board to adopt this cease and desist order for the Smoke Tree Villas is that the wastewater plant is unable to treat the waste to consistently meet the permit's effluent limits. Monitoring results for the last 3 years are found in Attachment A to the tentative order. During that period, effluent has exceeded multiple limits every month. The BOD has averaged 1.5 times over the effluent limit, and the total nitrogen averages more than four times over its effluent limit. The settleable solids and total suspended solids effluent limits are occasionally exceeded, but not to the extent that BOD and total nitrogen are. The wastewater also exceeds the total dissolved solids or salt effluent limit every month. But the permit was written before there was a good record of the TDS in the potable water. And it turns out that the effluent limit is lower than the TDS of the potable water. It's not a realistic limit and needs to be recalculated when the permit is updated. So the prosecution team used its discretion to not require strict compliance with the TDS limit in this order, but instead to require that the discharger implement source control measures to keep the TDS concentration as low as reasonable. Next slide. In June 2022, Water Board staff issued a notice of violation, which is found as the first part of Exhibit 7 in your evidence list. The notice of violation described the effluent limits violations that I just went over and directed the discharger to hire a registered engineer to evaluate how to modify the wastewater plant so the treated waste would continuously comply with the limits. The discharger responded appropriately by hiring a registered engineer. The engineer inspected the site and submitted a report proposing phased corrective actions. Staff approved the phases, and over the next year, the discharger addressed some deferred maintenance items. However, the effluent quality did not improve. The engineer has now determined that the treatment plant is unable to meet the total nitrogen limit and that significant modifications are needed. Although the discharger has voluntarily taken steps to modify its treatment plant, compliance will take longer than anticipated. The prosecution team prepared the cease and desist order with the goals to ensure that the upgrades are completed within a reasonable timeframe, and that when the upgrades are completed, effluent will comply with the permit limits, and that the discharger has a clear understanding of what the Water Board is requiring. Staff developed the timelines in the tentative order after conversations with the engineer and discharger. However, after it was issued for comment, both the engineer and discharger asked for an additional 6 months to modify the treatment plant. That request is found as Exhibit 25 in your evidence list. Staff found that their rationale was reasonable and have prepared a change sheet, which includes a 6-month extension to most of the timelines that were originally proposed. I'll go over the change sheet in a few slides, but first I want to describe what's in the proposed cease and desist order. If adopted with the change sheet, the cease and desist order would require the discharger to submit multiple technical reports, most of which must be prepared by a California registered engineer. The first item has to do with reporting influent flows to the treatment plant. There is not a flow meter at the plant, and the prior reporting has not been accurate, so the order requires that water bills be submitted with the monthly monitoring reports until a flow meter is installed. Then the first technical report is due by June 1st of 2024. This report is to document that several deferred maintenance actions have been completed, including repairing or replacing the control panel, repairing the second blower, and cleaning the internal media with a high pH solution. These actions should improve the treatment process and the effluent quality. By September 1st of 2024, the discharger is to submit the first progress report describing steps taken to modify the treatment plant to date. The December 1st, 2024 report is a major report, and it's to contain a proposal and engineering drawings for modifying the wastewater plant so that the discharge will continuously meet effluent limits. And in addition, it's to describe installation of a flow meter. Next slide. Progress reports are required for the next 3 quarters. And then by December 1st of 2025, the discharger is to submit a technical report documenting that the wastewater treatment plant has been modified as it had been proposed. It can take a few months to optimize a wastewater plant after improvements are made. So the cease and desist order states that as of March 1st, 2026, the effluent must consistently meet the permit's limits for BOD, TSS, settleable solids, and total nitrogen. In addition, the discharger shall implement reasonable source control methods and do its best to meet the TDS effluent limit. Next slide. You should have a copy of the prosecution team's change sheet in front of you, and I'll go through the changes briefly. Changes 1 and 13 update attachment A to include recent monthly monitoring data. Change 2 states that the engineer recently provided an update and requested a 6-month extension to each due date. Change 3 refers to how the influent flows will be reported and requires that water bills be included with the monthly monitoring reports until a flow meter is installed. Change 4 adds 1 month to the date by which the deferred maintenance must be completed. And changes 5 through 11 add 6 months to each progress report or technical report related to modifying the treatment plant. And then finally, change 12 inserts today's date as the date of adoption of this order. We sent a copy of these proposed changes to the discharger and engineer, and they didn't have any concerns or questions. So in summary, the discharge from the small waste plant has consistently violated the permit's effluent limits. The current owners are relatively new and appear committed to upgrading the treatment plant. This proposed cease and desist order will set timeframes and expectations, and the goal is to have this facility by March 2026. The cease and desist order includes language allowing the executive officer to approve time extensions if delays are beyond the control of the discharger. And finally, we prepared a change sheet reflecting updated information since the cease and desist order was issued as a tentative in January. The prosecution team recommends that the board adopt the tentative cease and desist order with the changes listed in the change sheet. This ends our formal presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for your report. Can you go over the TDS again?
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying is the water they're receiving from their water purveyor is higher in TDS than...
I do have an extra slide after the very last slide, because there's a lot of numbers involved. Yeah. Okay. So I figured it would be easier for you to see the numbers than me just spouting them out. So the permit and its findings say that the domestic waste adds 150 to 380 milligrams per liter of TDS to the potable water. But for this particular discharger, they expect 150 to 200 would be a reasonable increase. And they gave a limit of 350. But monitoring for the last 3 years of the potable water TDS has an average of 360. And the discharger is measuring that TDS at the potable water every month as part of its monthly monitoring. So the average is 360, the effluent limit is 350. You know, a reasonable TDS effluent limit would be around 560. And if that 560 was the limit, they would be meeting it because they're monitoring, their average is about 505. So if we had a reasonable TDS limit in the permit, they would meet it. And the prosecution team just didn't feel comfortable telling them to meet an effluent limit that is lower than the potable water.
Is there a minimum requirement for water purveyors for TDS?
For water purveyors, no.
No. So it could be 800 and it would still pass.
I'm not aware of any.
Member Music. In terms of the Title California Code of Regulations, Title 22 specifies maximum contaminant levels or constituents in drinking water provided by purveyors. We're talking about total dissolved solids as a secondary MCL, which is it would be a consumer acceptance criteria. Which would basically mean, are you gonna like drinking it? And so the recommended range would be the lower recommended range would be 500 milligrams per liter, and Cassandra, the upper range would be 1,000. So somewhere in between that, and so that would be what's applicable to private water purveyors. For purposes of the basin plan, we have not formally incorporated that secondary MCL. But we nevertheless do have a narrative water quality objective or tastes and odors. And so we have some degree of flexibility to kind of allocate what we would like that receiving water to look like. A 350 milligram per liter effluent would be significantly lower than some of the other facilities that we do regulate, and it would actually be below that recommended range under this secondary MCL.
So water purveyors range from 500 to 1,000?
Oh, in many cases, I would presume they probably exceed that recommended range, depending on where you live and depending on what your water source is in Sacramento.
So what is the rationale then to give them a limit? I know we're not because of, but why would you even put a limit of 350 if the minimum is 500?
This WDR's order was adopted in, I believe,
2006. Maybe I could.
Yeah, I was in high school.
I'm just curious.
I think under the anti-degradation policy, we are trying to limit degradation of the groundwater, salinity in the groundwater. And so we don't want a discharger to just allow or to be dumping highly saline waste into the wastewater system, which then would end up in the groundwater. So all the domestic wastewater permits I'm familiar with do have a TDS limit, and we just try and make it 150 to 200 milligrams per liter over the potable water, just that there is some sort of control on it.
Okay.
But yeah.
And then when you talk about monthly water bills, do we know that they have a specific water bill for just the residential and a different water meter for irrigation and a different water meter for their swimming pool, or do they have one water meter for everything? Because their water usage per unit seems very high.
So originally, board staff, even though there is an influent flow limit, the board staff said, well, you can just use your water bill instead of that, because they don't have landscaping, they don't have a pool. So there's like one water bill coming into the complex. When I got involved and I looked at the monthly monitoring reports, I saw that the consultant had written the exact same flow every single month. And it was like 3,132 gallons per day, exactly down to that, to the one every single month for years. So it was obvious that they were not looking at the water bills. So then the notice of violation in 2022 said, report your water, the water use from your water bills. The consultant doing the monthly reports ended up reporting a different number than the engineer reported, which makes no sense. So now we're back to, fine, put in a flow meter, because you have to modify your plant anyways. But in the meantime, attach, this time we want you to actually see the monthly bills attached to their monthly monitoring report, so they can confirm the number that they're reporting to us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to invite the discharger, Ms. Michelle Biani, up for any comments.
Michelle Biani, and my parents own the Michelle Biani, and this is my parents' property. They sold their farm in Arvin, and this was their investment property. We purchased it in December of 2018. We didn't know about wastewater treatment facilities or plants. And we saw, met with an engineer, my brother did, and there was a O&M operator, their plant level two, I think. And we just kept with the same people and assumed everything was going fine. It was very expensive to have the monitoring and everything, and we didn't see anything out of line until about 6 months after we purchased the property, and we got a late bill for a sludge permit. Didn't even know we needed a sludge permit. It wasn't in the due diligence on the property, so it's like, oh, okay, so we're doing that. The first time that we even knew we were out of violation is when we got, when it was a violation, it was like, what? We're out of violation. We're paying this operation O&M manager. And so it was all learning for us. For me, my daughter is an environmental engineer, but she's soil remediation, and she's up in Oregon and Washington and Idaho and not registered here. You know, as much as I know it's total dissolved solids or total suspended solids is when I'm like working on a property and putting sandbags in, it's like the sand flows a lot better if it gets up in the water and down, try to get the water flow moving. So we're all for having this plant run properly. And one thing that happened, and I'm not sure what exactly the stock is, the cease and desist order, it shows the history. And when we purchased it in 2018, there was an earthquake out there 5 years beforehand. The system fell off its stand, and they had to raise it and fix it. From what I understand from this, there wasn't a follow-up as they were supposed to do with water board. But when we just had the pH cleaning done 2 weeks ago, and we had the engineer that made the machine from Kansas City, he came out on the property. The system wasn't properly leveled. At the time the system was purchased in 2005 and 6, it was supposed to meet the nitrogen standard. They do not guarantee that their system meets nitrogen standards anymore, and they now have a module that's added onto the system. So as we go along, we'll figure out what's going on, but I suspect some things weren't being properly maintained. This is my expertise, but I'm following up on those. pH cleaning will let us know more legit what it should be. The system has to be leveled. We're hoping that these smaller changes will get us into compliance. And I want to thank the prosecution team and advisory team for giving us that extra 6 months, because working with the engineer, he's worked in Yucca Valley, he's worked on the tram in Palm Springs on these smaller systems, and he was like, realistically, this is what we have to do, and we're hoping it'll all be good, and by 2026, everybody's happy. We do not want to degrade the water supply with salt. My daughter's an environmental engineer. She'd be at us going, what are you guys doing here? Fix it. So if you have any questions, just kind of, I'm learning how to be an engineer. My chemistry from college, man, I don't remember that. You know, I've got two sides on nitrogen. You got a nitrify, a denitrify. But I'm figuring it out. We'll get it going the right way.
Thank you. Any questions for the discharger? Thank you so much for coming. Are there any other comments from the public? Do we have any other speaker cards?
No other speaker cards.
Okay. Any board member comments or discussion?
I just think it's good that the discharger is willing to work and improve the system, and we should give them the extra time that they need.
Any other comments? Okay, I will now close the hearing. Item is now closed. May I please have a motion to adopt agenda item 6, which is a cease and desist order.
I so move.
I'll second.
All right, roll call vote, please.
Chair Satin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Oh, aye.
Sorry, pause.
Yes. So, oh, yeah. Yes, there was a change sheet. I think I would recommend to abandon this motion and then make a new motion.
Do I need to make a motion to abandon the motion, or can I just abandon it?
Okay, I'll withdraw my motion. David, give me the motion.
Would you? Okay. I think it should be fine. I think that let's have that motion, you know, considered abandoned. If with your everyone's consent.
Yes.
Motion so abandoned.
Awesome. All right. A new motion should be to adopt the revised cease and desist order reflecting the changes in the change sheet provided by the prosecution team.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right, now may I have a roll call vote?
Chair Satin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. The board will now move on to the information items on today's agenda. Starting with item 7, the board will now hold a workshop on the proposed amendment to the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin region to include tribal beneficial uses and administrative updates. The purpose of this workshop is to solicit stakeholder and board member input and to encourage and facilitate a high level of interaction among the board members for discussing and providing direction to staff. The board welcomes public input on the item, and members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments. As such, electronic speaker card requests were submitted prior to the meeting, and speaker cards were also collected at the meeting. To ensure a productive and efficient workshop, oral comments may be limited to 3 minutes at the discretion of the board chair. This is an informational item only. Although Colorado River Basin Water Board members are present, no board action will be taken at this informational item. The board will, however, have an opportunity to ask questions and provide comments. The order of speakers for this agenda item is as follows. First, there will be a presentation by board staff, Francisco Costa. Next, the board will hear any comments from the public. Finally, the board will have an opportunity to make their own comments on the matter. With that, I'll hand it over to Mr. Costa. Costa, probably, sorry.
Good morning, Chair and members of the board. My name is Francisco Costa. I'm an environmental scientist at the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Board. Today I'll be presenting a proposed non-regulatory amendment for our basin plan to include the general tribal beneficial uses, statewide mercury provision, and administrative updates. Next slide, please. This workshop is to provide an overview of the proposed basin plan amendment, an opportunity for board members questions and feedback, and also an opportunity for the public to comment as well. In this presentation, I will give an overview of the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin, also known as basin plan, describe tribal beneficial use definitions that have been adopted by the State Water Resource Control Board or the State Water Board. Describe statewide mercury provisions that have been adopted by the State Water Board. Outline proposed administrative updates to be made to the basin plan for the Colorado River Basin region. And discuss the summary of process for public review and next steps. Next slide, please. The water quality control plan, referred to as the basin plan, is the central regulatory document to ensure water quality in the Colorado River Basin region. Given the highly diverse environmental and land characteristics of regions within the state, Colorado River Basin region specific water quality regulations are contained in the basin plan that recognize the region's beneficial uses for ground and surface waters, water quality objectives to protect the beneficial uses, and implementation programs to achieve water quality objectives. The basin plan fulfills the state and federal statutory requirements for water quality planning. There will be preserving and protecting ground and surface waters of the Colorado River Basin region. Next slide. The basin plan is a living document that requires periodic updates to add new provisions and update existing programs. The amendment for consideration today incorporates statewide provisions adopted by the State Water Board, including tribal beneficial uses, numeric objectives for mercury, the human right to water policy, and the other Region 7 specific administrative changes, including Salton Sea updates and editorial changes. Next slide. State Water Board recognized the need for beneficial uses to protect uses of California surface waters that are unique of California Native American tribes. The State Water Board worked with tribes to develop the beneficial uses. The tribal beneficial uses definitions were adopted by the State Water Board on May 2, 2017, and they are applicable statewide. The State Water Board recommended that the 9 regional water boards initiate and complete a basin planning process for the beneficial uses to be incorporated into their respective basin plan. The new tribal beneficial uses includes the proposed amendment are not being assigned to any water bodies. This amendment is only incorporating the definitions for possible future and use at the request of Native American tribes. If a tribe requests a designation of waters in the future, the Regional Water Board will start the process and work with that tribe to designate tribal beneficial use to specific waters. Next. These are the three tribal beneficial uses definitions adopted statewide by the State Water Board on May 2nd, 2017, that we propose be included in our basin plan. The definition of tribal tradition and culture or CUL is uses of water that support the cultural, spiritual, ceremonial, or traditional rites of or life ways of California Native tribes, including, but not limited to, navigation, ceremonies, or fishing, gathering, or consumption of natural aquatic resources, including fish, shellfish, vegetation, and materials. The definition of tribal subsistence fishing, or TSUB, is uses of water involving the non-commercial catching or gathering of natural aquatic resources, including fish and shellfish, for consumption by individuals, households, or communities of California Native American tribes to meet needs for sustenance. The definition of subsistence fishing, or SUP, is uses of water involving the non-commercial catching or gathering of natural aquatic resources, including fish and shellfish, for consumption by individuals, households, or communities to meet needs for sustenance. Subsistence fishing SUP is very similar to tribal subsistence fishing TSUB, with the exception that it encompasses all users, tribal or otherwise, that may consume fish or shellfish for sustenance. Both these subsistence fishing beneficial uses normally involve higher rates of consumption of fish or shellfish than those protected under the commercial or sport fishing and the tribal tradition and culture beneficial use. Next, I will discuss mercury water quality provisions that were also developed during the tribal beneficial uses process by the State Water Board. These are the five mercury water quality objectives adopted into the statewide policy for inland surface waters by the State Board in 2017. They are already in effect statewide, and this proposed basin plan amendment formally incorporates them in our region's basin plan. These mercury water quality objectives protected both the people and the wildlife who consume fish in our region. These mercury objectives were formulated for one or more of the applicable beneficial uses, depending on the consumption pattern by individuals or wildlife, which includes consumption rate, fish size, and species. The five mercury water quality objectives are sport fish, tribal subsistence fishing, prey fish, and California least tern prey fish. These objectives will be applied according to the beneficial use of the water. Next. The mercury water quality objectives that protect the people who consume fish apply to waters with the following beneficial uses: commercial and sport fishing, Native American culture, tribal subsistence fishing and subsistence fishing. Next slide. These mercury water quality objectives that protect wildlife who consume fish apply to waters with the following beneficial uses: wildlife habitat, rare, threatened, or endangered species, warm, fresh habitat, cold freshwater habitat, and inland saline water habitat. Next slide. The other administrative updates to the basin plan are to formally incorporate the human right to water in the policy section of the basin plan. The state water adopted resolution number 2016-0010, with the human right to water as a core value and a top priority for the water boards in February 2016. With this resolution, the state statutorily recognized that every human being has the right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible water adequate for human consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes. The policy is incorporated into the Water Code Section 106.3, Subdivision A. Next slide. We also propose to update the Salton Sea information, including chapters 1 and 5, in response to public comments. These include changes to language that reflects current restoration plans by Salton Sea Management Plan and other pertinent information like salinity and depth from United States Geological Service and United States Bureau of Reclamation. The updated language is on page 20 in the draft staff report, revisions 8 to 10. Next. This proposed amendment would also include previously delineated groundwater hydrological subareas from the groundwater basin map in the appendix of the basin plan to table 2-5. The basin plan currently includes the larger hydrological units and their beneficial use designations. The smaller subareas have already been delineated, but they were not included in table 2-5. Portions of the groundwater basin map are shown here, as are some of the subareas that will be added to table 2-5. The full list is in the draft staff report, starting on page 17. Next slide. Also proposed for your consideration today are additional administrative updates to the basin plan, deletion of out-of-date information from the forward section. It is revision 4 on page 16 of the draft staff report. Fix typos in chapter 4, implementation. It is revision 7 on page 19 of the draft staff report. And reformatting existing footnotes 55, 56, 57, 58, and 74. They are revisions 12 to 14 on page 21 of the draft staff report. Next slide, please. Draft documents associated with this amendment were posted for public review on March the 25th. The public comment period is open for 30 days and ends on April the 26th. My contact information is shown on the slide and is also included in the public notice. Next slide, please. The next steps are: written comments will be accepted until April the 26th, the adoption hearing scheduled for consideration by the Regional Water Board on June 11, 2024. Next slide. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Mr. Costa. Do you have any comments from the public? Any cards submitted? Anybody?
No speaker cards.
Awesome. Any questions from our board members?
I don't know if it's really a question, but I did read that the Agua Caliente that you had contacted, correct? Doing this? Somebody did, whoever it was. Hi. I was just wondering, did they give you any good input to put into this or?
Hi, Emma McCorkle, Senior Environmental Scientist, Head of Basin Planning. We did not consult with Agua Caliente on this one.
Oh,
we consulted with Hummel Indian Village, actually.
Where's that?
It's over near San Diego. They have ancestral lands in our area. They mostly had questions about kind of the salt and sea and what all of this meant for any changes that might happen out there.
So nothing from any tribe that was within our region?
For this one, no.
Have you in the past with other stuff then?
Yeah.
So you have a regular group that gets together with you on different tribes to talk about things like this?
Not yet. But that is something that once we have the tribal beneficial uses incorporated into our basin plan, we are going to start more outreach and trying to get input from the tribes if they want to have certain water bodies listed or designated for any of these uses.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Hey, I was curious about, so the definitions were adopted by the state board. Why did it take so long just to get them added to our plan?
A lot of it is just capacity on our end. You know, we always have projects going, so this was something that we knew could kind of wait until we had a little bit more capacity with our. We were also waiting to see kind of how some of the other regions, sure, you know, incorporated things, how it went, and that's sort of informing our strategy of outreach after all of
Got
this
it.
As well. So we're kind of moving slow just to make sure we do everything properly.
And so are we expecting any requests for tribal designation now that, well, once they're adopted?
Potentially. We did have a couple of letters of support come in after state board adopted the tribal beneficial uses. So we'll reach out again. We may do some kind of tribal working group like region 9 or region 5 where we're not sure yet, but that is something that we'll be starting soon.
Awesome. Are there any other questions from board members? Great. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Moving on to item 8. The board will now hear a report from Executive Officer Paula Rasmussen.
Good morning, Chair Santin, board members, members of the public. I'm Paula Rasmussen, Executive Officer. Starting with introduction of new staff, the Water Quality Standards and Non-Point Source Unit has new staff member, Samantha Shapiro. I think she's here today. She's an environmental scientist and will be working on TMDLs and basin plans. Samantha will also be the region's tribal coordinator. She has a Master of Public Health specializing in environmental health from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And she comes to us from working with the Indian Health Service in New Mexico. And I'd also like to do a shout out this morning to Zach Owens, who is with the WDR unit. Zach has accepted a transfer to DWR in Red Bluff, and he'll be leaving us at the end of the month. So, Zach. And regarding the salt and sea workshop that was mentioned by board member Firestone, we are working with the state board to facilitate a remote viewing location for that workshop, and we'll be having discussions with them later this week. And once something is set up, I will let you know what the plans are. Well, we'll see what works out. That's our recommendation, but we'll see what their needs are and what we can do. But I think that this room could be used to facilitate that. And then regarding our lease renovations, the agreement for the renovations is continuing its process through the system. And it's still going forward, but we at this point do not yet have a target date to starting the renovations. So I'll let you know. And then this office recently held a office team building event including a lunch in the park. And want to acknowledge the work that was done by the supervisors here since they organized and planned the event. So their efforts are very much appreciated. And that concludes my report. If there's any questions.
Any questions? Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, agenda item 9. Do any board members have anything they'd like to share or discuss?
I have something I'd like to share. On Thursday, April 11th at CVAG, which I think it's in their room over here across the way at noon, the Environmental and Sustainability Committee, used to be Energy and Environmental Committee, but now it's the Energy and Sustainability Committee, there's going to be a speaker there for lithium extraction at the Salton Sea. His name's Barry Bean. He's Imperial County's Natural Resources Agency guy, I think is what I read. And if anybody is interested in hearing that, I just thought I'd let you know. Are those committee meetings recorded?
They are recorded, and they are also live broadcast by Zoom, yes.
So you can watch it later if you don't
catch. You can listen to it. I don't think they do a video recording, but there's an audio recording posted after the fact.
So you can't watch it later. You either have to watch it when it's going or be there.
Or listen to it later, yeah.
Oh, you can listen to it later. Oh, okay, okay. Thank you. I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Do you guys work with this guy, Paula, at all?
She's a female.
Oh, she's a female. Barry, sorry. Thank you for letting me know that. Sorry, Barry, wherever you are. that sounds like she has a presentation. I thought that would be good. Another thing I hadn't noticed before on our agendas, but on last agenda, there was a remote court reporter on the Zoom. Was that for just something there at that meeting? I don't remember seeing that. I could have missed it.
All of our meetings are recorded, and we have transcripts for every meeting from a court reporter.
So the court reporter, is the court reporter like here now listening to us?
Yeah, they used to, you know, be in person, but yeah. Now that we're remote, the reporter is remote.
So but they can listen to it later and do the court reporting on a video or a call.
Well, no, she's live listening.
She does it. That's what it said. Okay, I'd missed that before. Okay. I wondered what happened to our court reporters because they used to be in person. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge Roger Mays. He's a board member of High Desert Water District who attended our meeting today.
Any other comments from board members?
I have one. I attended this event not with my water board hat, but with my school district one. But I do want to congratulate CBWD and our elected officials for their celebration last week of $100 million for infrastructure for water. So all those areas, you know, waste system, all the unincorporated. So congratulations to them. Obviously for me, because I work with children. It just makes me really happy to know that our kids will have access to clean drinking water and be able to shower without, you know, developing a rash from, you know, everything that's in the water. So relevant to what we're doing here. So, you know, it was a beautiful celebration. You had kids performing, a lot of community folks involved, and it was just really nice to see the collaboration, you know, between the elected officials and community members, and just a big win. For the community and access to drinking water. So that's all.
Any others? All right, moving on to the chair's report. I attended the chair's meeting on April 2nd. Not too much to report out, although there was quite a bit of discussion about tribal designations, I guess for purpose of staff. FYI, Lahontan will be moving forward with some of their specific tribal designations in, I believe, their May meeting. So perhaps keep an eye on that and coordinate as appropriate. But otherwise, nothing else to report from the chair's meeting. Counselor, are there any items for a closed session?
None.
Awesome. All right. Next meeting is scheduled for May 14th, 2024, and we are adjourned. Mm-hmm.